All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the State of Startups. This is episode 24, titled Volunteer with COVID-19 Projects, Tools of Thought Revisited, and What is the Future of Work? Okay, guys. Hope y'all are staying safe out there. I know I'm trying to be. I still have a job. I go to a Target. We do not close. It's kind of like, you know, a main grocery store. We have a pharmacy inside, so we have to stay open. And we got to just do our due diligence. It's I don't mind it that much, to be honest. I don't really like being cooped up inside all the time. Now, that is really all I do. I mean, when I go to work when I have to, come home, and then work on my mainly like UX stuff for my class, and then get some exercise when I can. It's a weird time, guys. I know we're all in this together, though. We are all in this together, and we're just trying to make the best of it. And this episode for sure, I want to try to give you guys options of things to do. If you guys are out of work, you know, I feel for you. That's gotta be tough. I get it. I know we're getting some stimulus packet, you know, the money and unemployment. I hope that's going well for y'all. But, you know, a lot of what we have is time, that we have time. A lot of us do. And so we should make good use of it. So let's just get into it with this first one. And I found, so Sam Altman on Twitter shared this organization, this website, helpwithcovid.com. And I'll link this in the description, don't worry. But it's helpwithcovid.com. And it's this website, and there's a ton of projects, and you can just volunteer on whatever you think that would suit you best. So Sam tweeted, "Help with COVID now has 10,000 plus volunteers, 500 plus projects, and a new design. You can find something great to work on." Yeah, so I opened it up, and man, really cool. It looks fairly easy to get started, I think. I mean, I haven't done it yet. I just kind of found it recently. So right on the homepage, it's Volunteer for COVID-19 Projects. We help people find the resources they need. There's a search bar, and it says then underneath that, "We are 550 plus projects and 10,300 plus volunteers strong." Now, yeah, wow. And I see a list of featured projects here. These first three ones are actively recruited. In fact, I think, there's a list of featured projects. So one is helping companies manage something. It looks like there's categories of like prevention, so inform, reduce, and control the spread of the outbreak. There's a medical one that's support our overwhelmed health systems with medical innovation. And then there's a community one, work together to help our stressed community. So yeah, whatever you think your background is best suited for and what you can devote to, check this out. This is really cool. I'm going to try to dig into it over this next week or so. So there's a lot. So prevention, I don't know. Wow. There's three here that says actively recruiting. And the UX looks pretty good. Like you can click on whatever project you want and look more about it. Yeah. Awesome. This stuff is really cool. We need more volunteers. We need more people using their time wisely. There's a lot of people out there sacrificing so much to keep everything together. You know, our medical professionals and custodians and all the first responders. I know it's got to be hard to be out of work, but just don't sit at home like for months. Let's try to do something productive about it. So, okay. I can maybe talk more about that in later on, but let's get into the Tools for Thought Revisited. So he wasn't on this podcast, but he was on David Perrell's podcast, The North Star. I will link that as well. And the guest was Andy Matyshak. He was on Village Global, and he and Michael Nielsen partnered to they are a kind of this Tools for Thought. I think it was like episode 5 or 6 that I talked about this. So, I don't know. It was a long episode. It was about an hour and a half, and yeah, I was kind of disappointed, to be honest, because I like David Perrell, but he didn't do a very good job at talking about what Andy probably wanted to talk about. Like, I really wanted him to talk more about Andy and Michael's work, and they didn't. So I don't know. Like, it was a long hour and a half. Because I really like what they're doing, and I don't like, I'm sorry to say, but I don't like as much of what David's doing. I think online writing education, I think it's really cool what he's doing. I really do, but there's not much depth there. There's not much to talk about other than I see that you're doing that, but they just went on a long tangents about education system, what works, what doesn't. And for me, like, I feel like I could tell that Andy was maybe a little annoyed. You know, it's a long time to talk to somebody. And I think if you have a guest on, you should really talk about everything that they are doing. They're generous enough to come on their podcast. And Andy was. He was a very obviously respectable guest. It was fine. But, you know, I don't know. If I ever get big enough to have guests, like, you really need to, like, do diligence, do a better job at just, doing your homework on that person and trying to dig up everything that they've done and make it useful. I have maybe a few nuggets from that. Like, I just, So I know Andy talked about really the power of Twitter. So if you guys, you know, and I'm trying to get better at this too, like, more often than not nowadays, your connections, David was talked about this too. It's like you can find virtual friends through Twitter. If you guys are anything like me, and if you're listening to this podcast still, you probably are. You like tech, you like business, you like new ideas, you like what's the cutting edge. Well, you know, I think we all know Twitter is best for that. But so here's the thing, you know, it's good to kind of add those people, add those followers. You know, who do you like to listen to? Whose brains do you like? You know, who do you like? What tweets do you like? Well, okay, yeah, follow them, read their stuff, but you got to figure out some way to kind of contribute. You got to figure out your own voice, your unique contribution, and just start tweeting. Like, I'm finally starting to just not care and start tweeting. And I would typically, if you don't know where to start, I have found just go try to comment under whatever, like, I don't know, tweets that you find interesting or you think you could add some value. And that's what this is about, is trying to add value. You're always trying to add value. So find a recent tweet from someone you admire and try to add something that you think that's going to be valuable to them. And it's just a way to start. And then just try to fire stuff off. Just try to fire stuff off. Anytime you have a remotely good thought, yeah, just try to fire it off. Because if you guys are anything like me, it's a, you're, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm a nobody kid from Indiana. trying to make it in UX and tech, and nobody knows me. This is kind of how people like me have to build an audience. It's doing this podcast, try to be consistent, and trying to tweet consistently. It's really trying to use Twitter as a megaphone, use your podcast as a megaphone, and try to reach people. You know, since I haven't built anything or done anything very impressive, like, it's sad to say to me, you know, like, what a state of the world we're in where, like, a college degree is just not valuable. It's just not relevant. And in tech especially, I'm more often than not, it's hard to be impressive with just that. I think people are, and here's what I need to talk about this. I need to talk about, like, the difference between LinkedIn and Twitter. I just think there's a, like, LinkedIn just, I don't know, it has a bad rep to me. And it's hard because I'm a person right now that really needs to use LinkedIn still. And people that are already established don't like it. They don't like to constantly be nagged by people that aren't making it yet. And that's how LinkedIn always feels. Like, if you try to message people on LinkedIn, what is it? I mean, you already know that the person that messaged you is trying to get something from you. You just know that, though, because it's LinkedIn. Twitter might be a little different. Twitter is like, well, it seems like the pressure is off people's backs. Like, there's no pressure in, I'm not trying to get something from you. I like what you thought. I like what you tweeted. Here's something else that I can add to that. Let's just talk. You know, I don't think LinkedIn will ever be that. And it tries so hard to be that. And I don't know. So try to make your connections through LinkedIn or through Twitter. Yes, LinkedIn is important. I think you definitely need it still to get a job. But yeah, the attitudes are changing. People like people for their brains and their ideas rather than their resumes, rather than what they've done, even what they've built, maybe, unless it's super impressive. But yeah, so sorry, there was a little spiel on that. I mean, and as far as Tools for Thought, I guess I want to remind you guys what they do. So they have this blog, this long essay called Quantum Country. And really what they're mainly doing, so they're trying to develop Andy and Michael, you know, and I have their Patreon. I am a contributor. I do $5 a month. I think what they're doing is really important. And this will segue into what's coming next. So, but I think Tools for Thought is super important. Really, what it boils down to is it is tools that amplify our intelligence as a species. And this is like the highest level of like thinking that you can get when inventing a technology. This is not trying to develop another food delivery app or ride sharing app or whatever kind of stuff that is. This is like a new language. This is a new higher level of thinking. This is the computer in the 1950s and 60s, you know. So that's what they try to do. So, and what they write about right now is like quantum computing. Quantum Country is about quantum computing because that's what they believe. That's what this next biggest Tools for Thought is going to be. Quantum computing is like personal computing. And it kind of makes sense. But it's coming, and it's they do a pretty good job. And it's actually very dense. If you read through the Quantum Country, it's very dense. It's very hard to get through. But they're doing great work. That's why I contribute to them. So you might think about that. I will link. I'll see what I can link. I at least their Twitter bios possibly. But yeah. Anyways, I want to move on. Because there's a lot to say there. Well, okay, segue, Tools for Thought. Okay, Notion. So I listened to the most recent Village Global podcast is Building and Scaling Notion with Akshay Kothari. So he's one of the guys at Notion. And wow, this one really blew me away. I didn't know how impressive Notion actually was. I've never really needed to use it for my business, for any kind of business work, or, but it's like, it's really like, if you guys don't know, it's like this kind of all-in-one productivity work. It is like everything in one. And it is wanting to do, you know, their Twitter is the all-in-one workspace for notes, tasks, wikis, and databases. And and here's the best part about this is they, you know, hearing him talk in the episode and what I know they stand for is they admire the greats, Alan Kay, Douglas Engelbart, you know, Brett Victor, Alan Turing, and Claude Shannon, all of the great computer minds from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that we somehow have forgotten. And he talks about that. We have forgotten about what those guys did. The Xerox PARC. And I always say that there needs to be more Xerox PARCs around, but everybody is just right now looking to profit off of tech, you know, and the dot-com boom. We're still creating companies like that. And this Notion, I didn't know how deep-rooted they were in that type of thinking. And they just blow me away. And I will start to use this. I want to play around with the Notion a lot more and just appreciate the genius behind it and what they stand for. And gosh, this was one I'd really would love to work for. I might revisit it in a little bit. But I also wanted to get to another episode, which is like, so the future of manufacturing with Kenan Johnson and Karan Talati. This was also a great one. That's kind of along the same lines. I know Karan has the company of firstresonance.io. And talking about hard startups, the hardware, finally we have something innovating in the hardware space. It's not just another app. So it's deliver hardware with confidence. Meet Ion, the factory operating system engineers and technicians trust for speed, collaboration, real-time production visibility. So I don't know fully. I'm going to just kind of read a little bit about it. The next part is for mission-critical manufacturing. From R&D through delivery, Ion's intuitive work instructions, flexible scheduling, and nimble parts manager help you track what's important and continuously improve so you can scale production to the next level. It's manufacturing software made smarter. That's really cool. Innovate without stopping production. Trace critical parts and data. Join the disconnected data. There's kind of a lot to read here, so I don't want to read all of it. Unleash your manufacturing potential. At First Resonance, we believe a bold generation of manufacturers will change skylines, lives, and perceptions of what's possible. We built Ion to be scalable, flexible, and robust, a factory operating system to empower today's builders and propel the world forward as you build a brighter tomorrow. Yeah, so I know that it's a really, I don't know, they might use AI, I'm not quite sure, somewhere in here, but I know they talked about like it kind of takes care of a lot of the mundane tasks in factories and manufacturers and allows that frees up a lot of the human free thought and time to be creative and kind of innovate what's next. And one other thing I want to talk about in this episode was Kenan Johnson, especially. So Kenan is a little different. He's a real hardware guy because he came from SpaceX and boy, he just had such a like an attitude towards like software startups. And I love, he was almost like a Peter Thiel mind. He's like, he just said something along the lines of like, I just don't know how much companies are actually innovating. Like, how much work are they actually doing? How much progress and like actual hard, bold things are they doing? And he was like, I would love data on this because I just, you know, I'm skeptical on what, how, you know, like innovative people are actually being. And that really caught my attention. And anytime someone says stuff like that, that's like against the grain, against the norm, I pay attention. And that's why I'll believe in this First Resonance. Go follow them on Twitter. I will link, obviously, the podcast in the notes so you can look that up. But yeah, awesome stuff. Okay, so let me, I did want to talk about just a couple Crunchbase things. I have Crunchbase Daily in my email. You guys probably do. I mean, it's a very obviously popular news source. So, I probably don't have to talk about it too much, but I did find one startup in particular that I wanted to share because if you guys, I don't know where you guys, you know, actually, I in my podcast data, yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot of Midwestern folks listening, so which that doesn't surprise me. Indiana is not like other places. I was actually just thinking, I was talking about earlier, I feel like the Midwest is more different to SF and New York than some other cities outside of the country. And I really, no, this is, I think, seriously true. Like, Seoul, South Korea, and like Singapore, and Hong Kong, Stockholm, Beijing, Tokyo, those cities are more like New York and SF than like anywhere in Indiana, anywhere in Wisconsin, anywhere in South Dakota. And I just find that very interesting. You know, America is a very funny place. We're so big and we're so diverse, and now I'm getting off on a tangent, I know. But I think this needs to be brought up more though, and I don't know if it's just like there's not a lot of us tech people in the Midwest. I beg to differ. I bet there is. One thing that I've wanted to happen was like I really want the Midwest to band together, and we need like our own social network. We need like the Midwest Tech Hub, Midwest Tech Social Network, and I feel like we could at least get 200,000, maybe even 500,000 people. And our voices just need to be heard because it's not hard for like China, like people from the big cities in China to come to Silicon Valley or India and make something happen. Like that happens all the time. We know of the immigrant founders, you know, that we know that, but why doesn't that ever happen from our own homeland? Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, you know, Kentucky. I don't know. I don't know why that is. The culture is very different here. I will say that. But I think it needs to change. I really think the Midwest needs to reflect the most powerful cities still in the world. New York and SF and DC are still the most powerful cities in the world. And because, yeah, we're the most powerful country, but the cities that hold it up are LA, SF, New York, Boston, and DC. That's it. Cities are much more powerful than states. Cities are way more powerful than the Midwest put together. So it's just interesting to note. Okay, we got to wrap this up. As we're at about 25 minutes. The company is called Olive, oliveai.com. So, and they're in Columbus, Ohio. They're in Columbus, Ohio, and I think it got like $50 million new funding. So meet Olive, the AI workforce built specifically for healthcare. Olive automates healthcare's most robotic processes, so your employees don't have to. Let them focus on what matters most instead. With Olive, AI just works. So here we go. Again, freeing up human time, freeing up the mundane, monotonous stuff that people do at work. You know, people spend, 8 to 5, 9 to 5 every day at the office, but like 4 hours, 5 hours is probably just doing repetitive, mundane tasks. And so you then only have about 2 hours, maybe 1 to 2 hours to be creative. And that just needs to change. That just needs to change. And so it's not just AI with this Olive, but pay attention to this company in Columbus, Ohio. So it's not only in innovations like this, but it's also going to happen with just the remote revolution of working with Zoom and Slack. Like, you don't have to be tied to your company's office from 8 to 5, 9 to 5. You can work actually kind of all day, 1 to 2 hours all day, though. And why not Saturdays and Sundays? Why not? We don't need to take the whole weekend off, like every weekend. You can most. But yeah, so these are the innovations that are happening. I'm a huge believer in changing the future of work. I care about this a lot, because I'm somebody that's kind of sitting at home waiting for a dream job opportunity. And I think I could be contributing now, and I don't care what I get paid. I don't care if it's 10 bucks an hour. You know, I will gladly take 10 bucks an hour if I get to help Notion out, if I get to help First Resonance out, help Olive AI out. Absolutely. And I think if y'all are listening, I feel like you could band together with me and we could try to make this happen. And we can push these companies forward so much quicker with so much less money. You can add the manpower without paying an arm and a leg. You know, I'm not asking for $100,000 salary. You know, I'm not asking for 70. I'm next to nothing. Whatever legally you have to pay me to work, I guess that's what it comes down to. But anyways, guys, all right, I'm going to wrap it up here. We're just about at 28 minutes. So, yes, it's kind of a news rundown. Another COVID, and it will be a kind of a COVID episode for however long. But I just want to give you guys a lot of nuggets to chew on while you're, in quarantine. Get involved. Help out what you can. Stay, tweeting. Tweet out as much as you can. Message these companies. Contact them. And try to volunteer for the COVID causes. There's a lot of projects in there. So, get after it. All right, guys. Until the next episode, I will see you and stay safe. All right.